Well, I'm privileged to be here with you and to share with you the Word of God. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Psalm number 30. Psalm number 30. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths. Did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. O Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called. To you, to the Lord, I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. Hallelujah. Well, I'm a morning person. If you know me very long, you know that I love to get up singing and praising God. I know it's disgusting to some people, but that's the way God wired me. And already today, I'm just very thankful to the Lord to be live, to be here, that Pastor Joe would invite me to come and open the Word of God to you. I am honored. You know, we all have mental pictures, and we have privileges and opportunities that the Lord gives to us. And I want to share some of those with you this morning. In life, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in all the things around us that we miss the real reason for being here. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Some Christians think that we're just here to be sad all the time. And I don't doubt their salvation, but I doubt their sanity, really. How we enjoy God. How we find joy in belonging to him. To being alone with him in that intimate relationship, so vitally important. You know, we enjoy a lot of things. I enjoy my grandkids. I love my job God's called me to do. And sometimes it's an impossible job, and I just say, Lord, I can't do this. Here it is. You've got to do it. And I still enjoy my prayer walks. I don't walk as quickly as I used to, but I enjoy God's word. And I hope you are too. Picture yourself enjoying God. And may the joy of the Lord continue to fill you. Even as John, the beloved disciple, wrote, these things have I written that your joy might be full. And that's what God wants for us as we serve the Lord together. In this great psalm, there are seven reasons that David gives, records why David enjoyed God. Now, some of us were raised with the old King James Version way back a long time ago. And I don't want to go back there, but if you still carry the old King James Version, there are seven thou hast in this psalm. And I'll point them out to you as we go. The first one is in verse 1. The first reason that we have to praise God and to enjoy him. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me. The old King James Version said, thou hast lifted me out of the depths. The New International, I like the way it says, and did not let my enemies gloat over me. David remembered the days when he was out in the field watching his father's sheep. And the lion attacked the sheep. And remember that David wrestled the lion and overtook it. 1 Samuel chapter 17, if you want to read the story. When the nation of Israel was being attacked by the Philistines, and David himself was face to face with this huge man, Goliath. And God enabled him with just a little slingshot and five little stones to kill the giant. And remember when David was being hunted by King Saul. When Saul tried to kill him. And when David was forced to live, according to 1 Samuel 22, in the cave for fear of his life. And when David's own wife, Michal, criticized him, how very hurtful. When he was so filled with praise and joy, and she criticized him and hated him. Some of you guys understand what that's like. And when David's own son rebelled and eventually died a horrible death, how hurtful. But when David said, you lifted me out of the depths, God literally lifted him out of those difficult situations. Saul and Absalom were dead. The Philistine Goliath was dead. And David was freed to fulfill God's power as king of Israel. The Hebrew word there that is translated lifted up, it's the word that they would use to draw water out of a well. God still lifts people out of the depths of despair. And there's some here perhaps that are struggling, even this morning, with some depression, failures of the past, regrets. Oh, friend, allow God to lift you out. Lift you up. Picture God lifting you. Lifting you. James chapter 4, verse 10, says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. You know, as a little boy, my daddy would lift me onto his shoulders. I was safe. And I could see things from a different perspective up there than down here. God lifted David. And God can lift you out of the enemy's clutches as you humble yourself before him. The second reason that David gives, verse 2. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. In response to David's cry, God brought healing. The Hebrew word there is shavah, meaning to cry aloud. In desperation, that attitude of, I'm desperate, Lord, for you. Some of you know what it is to cry aloud to God. God answers prayer. He answers the prayers of God's people. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 9, when you will call, the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here I am, here am I. It's more than a quick, heartless prayer. Here we see a believer crying before the Lord. Some of you know what that's like. And the result, God healed. God heals a physical sickness. What a privilege to trust God for our bodies. David believed that Christ was not only our Savior, but he's our healer. He wrote in Psalm number 103, the testimony about God who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. And we continue to believe the healing from God. Yes. I remember one Wednesday night, I was in choir practice back at the old church building. And a few of you might have been there. And prayer meeting was over. The choir was practicing. Connie was bathing our little boy, and he was only a month old. And she laid him on the bathroom floor in front of a little space heater, and she went to get a new diaper. Timmy had never rolled over before, and that day he rolled against that electric heater. Oh, it was horrible. And the skin just peeled off of his little body. Some of the elders were still there, lingering as they do after prayer meeting. And I ran over and I brought them over to the bathroom. And they anointed his little body. Friends, in the morning he was better. And today there's no scarring, no evidence. Thank you, Jesus. He heals. And I can tell you dozens and dozens of stories where people were anointed right here at this altar, and God wonderfully healed their bodies. Let's believe God that as we call out to him, he does heal. Sometimes here on earth, sometimes in heaven, but he's our healer. Also, God healed David's sin sickness. Because there was a time when David's heart became filled with sinful thoughts. And he sinned before God. And among other things, David stole another man's wife. But God wonderfully restored the joy of David's salvation. And you can hear his prayer. You can read it in Psalm number 51 as he cries out to God for salvation and for forgiveness. Today, God heals. He heals bodies. He heals hearts as people will trust him. The third reason that the psalm gives for us to enjoy God, rejoice, verse 3. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down to the pit. The word there that for grave is the Hebrew word Sheol, which was they would used to refer to the abode of the dead, where the dead people went after they died. And David says, you brought me up out of Sheol. David, you see, was certain of eternal life. He spoke about the resurrection, his resurrection, just as if it had already happened. Praise God for the joy in the assurance of heaven, of eternal life. I want to ask you, do you know for certain, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that if you would die today, that you would be in heaven? You can know. The Bible says, these things have I written that you might know that you have eternal life. Hallelujah. If you're not certain, if you're not certain that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you would die this moment, that you'd be in heaven, I'd ask you that you'd speak to Pastor Joe or me or one of the other elders here and know beyond a shadow of a doubt, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. There is joy in heaven, like we can really never know here on earth. Heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. Hallelujah. Some here allow the grief over loved ones who have passed to rob you of the joy. In Christ, we have wonderful hope of eternal life. Hallelujah. Hope and joy. These two emotions, hope and joy, they go together. Take time. Take time to think about life everlasting. Trusting God, giving thanks to God. Friends, there was a time in my life when I was really very fearful about dying. I remember lying in bed at night, tossing and turning, praying, Lord, help me to live to another day. I'll do better tomorrow, Lord. Because I thought that I could get into heaven by my own good works. And it's not about that, friends. And then a friend of mine shared with me about heaven and how that the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, nothing impure will ever enter it. And I knew that I had sinned. But only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that day, in the quietness of my bedroom, I knelt beside my bed and said, Lord, I ask you to forgive my sins. And I ask you to write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Friends, that fear of dying left. It was gone. It's been gone. As I trust God for his forgiveness, for his salvation through Christ. If you're not sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you can ask him today, just like I did. Say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I need you, God, in my life. And trust him. The fourth reason given to really enjoy life and enjoy God, verse 3, and you have to go back to the King James Version to get all that's being said here. It says, you have kept me alive. Friends, you could be dead right now. But for some reason, God has kept you alive. Think of the hundreds and hundreds, thousands of miles that I travel. God's kept us alive. He has us here for a reason. And there are one of two reasons why God has you here. Either you're not saved yet, and he's waiting for you to get right with God. Or two, he has a job for you to do. And you can serve him. When I was played the piano in the Baptist church, Indian Creek Baptist Church in Homer, Georgia, they sang a song, and they sang it joyfully. There is joy in serving Jesus as I journey on my way. Joy that fills my heart with praises every hour and every day. There is joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus. Joy that throbs within my heart every moment, every hour, as I draw upon his power. Isn't that great? There is joy in serving Jesus. And hallelujah, hallelujah. Some of my greatest joys in life have to do with my serving God. I remember years and years ago back at the old church how that Betty Hill would give the story for the kids in Bible school, remember? Then I had the privilege, when she'd finished the story, to come and give the invitation and see the boys and girls walk forward and declare their faith in Christ and pray that prayer to receive Jesus as their personal Savior. Hey, friends, there's not enough money in all the world to buy those joys. And some of those same boys and girls have now grown up to be pretty big boys and girls. And they continue to serve Jesus. Hey, that's joy. That brings joy to my heart. Another joy that I have experienced as your pastor, when I was your pastor, to baptize the believers, to see them give profession of faith and go down in the waters of baptism and come up trusting God for newness of life. Hey, friends, the joy that God gives. Hallelujah. The fifth reason that is given here in the scriptures, verse number seven, if you have your Bibles open. Oh Lord, you have favored me. You have made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. What does that mean? Around Jerusalem, there are five mountains. Mount Scopus and Mount Herzl are not mentioned in the Bible. But there are three mountains that are mentioned. Mount of Olives, that's east of the city of Jerusalem. The Temple Mount, that's Mount Moriah, sometimes called Mount Zion. And then Mount Zion. David's palace was located on the slopes of Mount Moriah, the place where Abram offered his son Isaac. Notice the title of this song, given right under where it says Psalm 30 in your Bible, a song for the dedication of the temple. The temple was located there on one of those mountains, on Mount Moriah, where Abram also offered Isaac. We sing an old gospel song. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. In the scriptures, the symbol of a mountain represents strength, the strength of our Christian faith is that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, paying the penalty for your sins and for my sins. It was there at Mount Calvary that Jesus died for our sins, when God hid his face as Jesus carried the sins of the world. And there Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so David looks forward in time to Jesus' death on the cross, even as we look back and say, thank you, Jesus. Real joy comes at the cross. The sixth thou hast is given in verse 11. You've turned my wailing. The old King James said, my mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, into dancing. David was brokenhearted when the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant out of the tabernacle. He was grieved in his heart. But God enabled David to bring the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem, to the tabernacle. And as he danced before the Ark of the Covenant, he was so thrilled, 2 Samuel chapter 6. He was so thrilled. He took off his royal robes and he jumped and he shouted and he danced before God. The Ark of the Covenant was a symbol of fellowship with God, a symbol of God's presence with them. How sad a Christian becomes when fellowship with God is broken. But when that intimacy with God is returned, there's joy. There's joy. Friends, in our family, some of you remember, it was 20 years ago, this May. Connie and I went through the most difficult time in our whole lives. We thought that our whole life had fallen apart. Our family was under attack. And we, those of you who were there, you remember the details. I'm not going to go into all that. But I remember walking into our family room up on the hill. Connie was dancing before the Lord. Only saw her dance one time. God answers prayer. Psalm number 126 says, they that sow with tears will reap in joy. Some here are sowing in tears. Believe God that in God's timing, you will reap in joy. The seventh, the last of those great reasons for rejoicing. The end of verse 11. You removed my sackcloth. Sackcloth was like an old burlap bag. And when the Hebrew people would mourn, they would take off their fancy clothes and they would put on this itchy, scratchy sackcloth. And David says, you removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. God can change a heart, a sad heart into a joyful heart. Oh, Christian, God has blessed us with joy. Let's praise him. Isaiah chapter 61 says it this way, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. yesterday afternoon, it was a pretty nice afternoon, and there was snow everywhere, and I decided, well, it's time to get the parking lot where I park my car scraped off. And so I put my old clothes on, my old jacket, my old hat, and I scraped off the parking place for me and a couple other people. And then I walked down to the post office, and on the way back from the post office, my neighbor, Eric, was changing the headlight on his car. And of course, I have to get involved. And when I got back to the house, my coat was dirty and my pants were all wet from some of the snow and all this stuff. And I took those old rags off and I put on comfortable clothes, warm ones and dry ones. Picture yourself taking off the old drab, perhaps dirty, parts of life this morning and put on a new look. Take off the sad face, that down in the mouth attitude, and let Jesus put on to you, even as verse 7, you've removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy in your service to Christ. If you go around with a down-in-the-mouth attitude, you will discourage people from following Christ. You can experience the joy of the Lord today. Weeping, verse 5 says, weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. God wants you to rejoice. David prayed, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." Let's bow in prayer. Oh God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit working in us and through us. We pray even this morning that you, oh God, will so fill us with the joy of the Lord, and that joy will overflow and touch our neighbors and our Christian brothers and sisters right here at church. And it will become a contagious revival of joy that will affect our whole country. Sure, there are problems in the world, but Lord, we believe that you are greater than those problems. Sure, there's sin. And Lord, we choose to believe you to forgive and to walk us forward with the garment of praise. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.